This is Peace Talks Radio, the radio series and podcast on peacemaking and nonviolent conflict resolution. I'm series producer Paul Ingalls, today with correspondent Jessica Tick. So what happens when community leaders trying to make decisions are being torn apart by conflict? How can they come together and find common ground? In the first part of our program on this topic, we heard from Jay Rothman, expert in creative conflict engagement and peacemaking, who founded the ARIA Group. So now we head to Yellow Springs, Ohio, a town that became deeply divided over a school levy issue. From the elementary school to the high school, the town's education buildings were falling apart and in a state of disrepair. In some cases, animals had taken up residence in the dilapidated buildings and kids had been learning in trailers. A school levy to pay for repairs was put to vote and failed to pass three times, leading the community down a path of even greater division and conflict. Producer Jessica Tickton is going to speak with two members of the Yellow Springs community to hear their story of peacemaking and finally passing a vote to improve their school buildings. Jay Rothman, expert in creative conflict engagement, was able to help them. Here's Jessica with a story.
An expert in creative conflict engagement and peacemaking, Jay Rothman had been working in Jerusalem on the Israeli-Palestinian conflict for several years before he came back to his hometown of Yellow Springs, Ohio, only to find it engulfed in its own conflict. Rothman spent months working with the school board and other stakeholders, providing the community with tools that eventually helped them move forward. The issue sowing so much division was whether or not to spend millions of dollars on rebuilding the town's schools, and if so, where to build them. It's the first time in Yellow Springs history, a town of about 4,000 people, that all of its levies failed. It's known as an education town, home of Antioch University and a good public school system. Rothman was brought in to do a research study to find out what was going on and come up with a plan.
So I did a month-long study to see the nature of, I used my ROI, resource disputes, goal problems, and identity conflict. So I did that analysis, I interviewed people, I did reading. I kept meeting with the superintendent to get her perspective. And I met with school board members and I met with different community groups. And then I came back with the proposal to do a collaborative process. First with the staff and the school board, I conducted a retreat. None of this was a straight line. It was filled with acrimony. There were several times when I thought I'd rather be back in Jerusalem. Several times I didn't think this was going to work. And several more times I thought, what in the heck am I doing this in my backyard? You know, when this is all over, I can't get in an airplane and fly away.
Jay's team discovered that the conflict centered around four sets of values that although were not exclusive to each other, the community felt strongly that they were in contention. The first was appropriate facilities for teaching and learning. The second was environmental concerns, then green space. And the last and most contentious value was affordability. The school board was at odds with each other and needed to find common ground.
It was really a 3-2 board, with two having been elected really to advocate for the affordability and the environmental issues, and the other three really committed to making sure that the facilities were rebuilt. They had to make a decision about if they're going to put one of the levies up for vote, and if so, which one of them.
I then reached out to TJ Turner, former president of the school board, who was embroiled in this battle for the past 6 years, and Gina Marie Cox, executive director of the Yellow Springs Community Foundation, whose organization funded the peacemaking process. They talked about their own experiences and insights into the conflict, as well as Rothman's process.
Well, thank you both for being here. I'm really interested in digging into this discussion. Your story is one of, I think, of hope because there's been issues in your community for a little while. And I know recently a vote was passed. So if you would start off, I'll ask TJ if you can start off with just telling me a little bit about what brought you to want to be on the school board and how you got to be president of the school board.
I guess my involvement with the school is good. Of course, I have three children, now two children. So one of them has graduated and she's off as a freshman in college. You know, education's always been a big thing with me and my family. To me, it's a great leveling force in society, right? The fact that anybody can go and get an education. And I do think a lot of inequity comes about from inequity in education. I'm a scientist for the Air Force and I got the job here in Dayton, Ohio, or outside of Dayton. And my wife wanted to find a good school system for when we had children. And I went and talked to our then superintendent, who was Mario Pasura, and just asked him about facilities and what I could do to help. I knew they were starting to ramp up for a levy issue. I had been on a previous committee for the levy for just a renewal of operating funds from the year prior. And so he stuck me on being the committee chair for the committee for the levy before I was on the school board. That levy was, I think, fairly characterized as very disastrous. very divisive in the community. It kind of brought out some of the underlying issues, and position opened up on the school board. You know, from looking from the outside in, Yellow Springs is very, very liberal. It's a little blue bubble surrounded by a lot of red, especially in the county around us, if not the whole state. You know, so I think at the 50,000 foot level, you'd think we're very homogenous, but when you kind of dive in and get involved in the community, there's a lot of different things that go on, and all valid interests, right? But they can kind of compete with each other. And so even though we may be more liberal in supporting education for the most part, it still, I think, became contentious with just limited resources.
So Jean Marie, well, first, can you start with how you would describe the Yellow Springs community to me and then your involvement in this issue?
Well, as TJ mentioned, it's a pretty diverse community. It doesn't necessarily look that way, but it is. And every topic has a whole host of different opinions about it. And I would say the community is very comfortable discussing, talking, and I'll say even fighting for their opinion. And it's always a twist. So every topic has that level of edge to it, I would say. So this one, no different, but more passion around this one, I think, because of the cost involved and et cetera. So, you know, from the Community Foundation's perspective, the foundation is very involved in community conversation on a regular basis. We're a 501c3. We're supported by the community on behalf of the community and supporting our nonprofits through grants to them. And one of our key roles is community conversation and understanding the and helping that conversation, because we don't have a political view. We cannot, by state rule, not have a political view. So we're like Switzerland. So we're able to bring the people together. So this topic has started with the initial discussions with the facilities, and there was a lot of opinion and emotion around it. Cost is probably, I will say, it was the number one issue and way ahead of everything else. But there was also nostalgic for buildings, and you know, I went to school there, my kids walk, things like that. That, you know, the emotional ties were also. I mean, some people don't like change. There's a whole, you know, I have an idea on how we can fix it, and somebody else has another idea. So it was started as early as the initial conversations about facilities.
This is Peace Talks Radio, and I'm speaking with two community members in Yellow Springs, Ohio, TJ Turner, former president of the school board, and Gina Marie Cox, executive director of the Yellow Springs Community Foundation, about peacemaking in their town after years of conflict over a school levy proposal. I asked TJ how the conflict began, since it seems clear that the schools were in need of major upgrades and repair. Didn't most people agree on this, or was this need even in contention?
Sure. So you know, our district has two campuses. Maybe that's part of the discussion. Right. So we have an elementary school that's very central downtown in a beautiful location. And then we have a high school and middle school complex that's combined together that's on the edge of the village. And so they were in various states of disrepair, or they're old. The elementary school in the central location was built in the 50s. And then the middle school, high school complex was built. I think the original building was in the 60s. And then we've had some various add-ons and improvements to it over the years. And that facility is in much worse shape than the Mills Lawn Elementary School. Both of them, though, need an upgrade. You know, in the high school, we have bats. There are raccoons living inside the building. We had trailers for the whole middle school. It's actually built out of trailers that were bricked around. They were, you know, designed with a 5-year lifespan, and we're now going on almost a year 30 with them. Some issues that don't make it a first-class learning facility for certain. Now we use so many more devices where you're plugging things in. We have issues with the electrical systems. None of the schools were designed where computers were around for the communications, having a, you know, Wi-Fi and network cables run everywhere. So a lot just needs to be done to upgrade from where we were. And so that becomes part of the debate, is how much do you upgrade, how much do you build new? Because in Ohio, when you fund school projects like this, you have to go to the community, you have to put a bond measure on, right? Because no one's got that kind of money laying around, schools don't. And you have to put a levy issue forward so that you can get money to do the build. I mean, I would say that, again, you know, like Gina Marie said, there's a huge diversity of opinion, right? Looking from the outside, we seem very kind of progressive and homogenous. But when you really dig in on an issue like this, a lot of the opinions come out. So we had, you know, many people saying, superintendent and teachers, like, yes, if you go to other facilities, other schools, you'll see the difference with our facilities and theirs. and how much more we could do for kids if we had upgraded facilities for 21st century learning. And then we had other people in town who were like, no, you know, I went to school there. I was fine. Look at me. A lot of folks who just didn't understand how education has changed. Or, you know, they may not have children in the district anymore, or it's been a long time since they went to school, so they didn't understand how it's all changed. And so that was another argument. And we've traditionally done fairly well as a school. There's, you know, we're ranked in the top few around us in terms of districts. Depending on years, the scorecards are a little bit different, right? So some folks will point to that as, you know, we're doing fine. Why do you need new facilities? Obviously, our teachers are very innovative. They'll do fine without it, right? I don't care if the windows leak or things like that. So you heard both sides of those arguments, unfortunately. So convincing people that it was an issue and then how to go about fixing it were two pieces of that puzzle.
Yeah, so I'm going to back up a little. So that this most recent was the third time we tried to pass this, right? So I'm imagining by that, like as things got more heated, obviously. So what happened the first time and what did you learn the first time when that failed? And then how did you approach it separately the second time when the vote came up again? Was it only the third time that you were looking for outside help for peacemaking and really getting people to listen? Like how did that progress from the first to the third?
What we felt that the biggest issue with the levy was that nobody was listening at that point. Everybody was digging in and nobody was listening to the other or considering the information of another group. So when you know, that contentious conversation or lack of conversation and the contentiousness and was something that we could potentially work on. And that's where we started focusing. We still supported the activities and experience of the students, but we added additional funding for peacemaking, as we called it, to help bring the conversations together.
We actually had outside consultants on the first one, which a controversial part, right? We had a political consultant that was paid for by two community members, two much more better off community members, right? They're fairly financially stable. And so they actually funded a political consultant. And that became very controversial in part in 2018 because Yellow Springs doesn't do that. Why do we need outside help? And that was sort of an eye-opening experience because this is the political consultants brought in are, you know, folks who work on issues like women's health and getting libraries funded and green space and parks. So it would be a group that I think under most circumstances, most people in Yellow Springs would agree with the things that they support and help to get passed in the political realm, right? And they, I don't think, understood Yellow Springs at the end when they left. They said, wow, you guys are a little different. The vitriol that happened online, especially in some of the Facebook pages, was surprising. And I was a part of that. So I was there. I was actually designed for a community that is, you know, prides itself in being kind. I received threatening phone calls that threatened me and my family. Somebody left a box of human feces at the end of my driveway. You know, little things like that, all related to the levy. And you're like, we're trying to educate children. So you can see it became a very passionate issue in the community, very divisive. We had a new superintendent. She had gone through a similar levy issue at her last place of employment. So she's like, no, we can handle this. We can do it. And I think even she misjudged in exactly how the community would react. You know, we tried a different levy. It wasn't a single building. It was now to remove both buildings and build a single complex, a K-12. And that was pretty resoundingly rejected as well by the same margin, almost like a 2-1. Both those first two levies were pretty clear, you know, for different reasons. And then in that second levy, there was definitely a lot more of the environmental concern and losing green space concern in town if we moved the central location. And so by this third time, it really wasn't any of our idea to have Jay Rothman and Daniela Cohen from the ARIA group step in. They sort of went and talked to, or Jay did, he went and talked to the superintendent and said, you know, I think I can offer some skills here to help people listen to each other. And then, you know, in cooperation with the community foundation, set that up so that, because there's laws about what the schools can fund and things. So no school funding or public funding was used for that. But they, you know, set this precondition, the community foundation set up listening spaces and, you know, areas where people could kind of decompress from this whole argument and start listening to the other side of the argument and trying to understand that, yeah, everybody's got some validity in this and how do you go about finding a solution?
My guests today are TJ Turner, former president of the school board in Yellow Springs, and Gina Marie Cox, community member as well, and executive director of the Yellow Springs Community Foundation. Was that surprising to you guys who've been community members? I mean, Jean Marie, you'd been there for, 30 years. Was that something new that you had seen? And if so, why do you think it became so contentious?
Again, opinion's always been, from 30 years I've been there and the many years before I moved to Yellow Springs, opinions and listening to others was always a part of the culture. The negativity and angst was definitely peaking, at least I hope it was peaking last year. And, I don't know if it's relative to our national situation and not just Yellow Springs. I think we're seeing it, much more across the board as a country as well, as just not a tolerance to listen. So yes, it was surprising. And it was why I felt like we needed funding to figure out ways to not just help the school situation. It really wasn't where I started. It was much more about the community itself, that if we didn't learn to find our ability to listen again, I didn't know exactly where we're going to end up. So it was much more around the bigger issue, but it pinpointed into the school situation as well.
Gina Marie, what did that peacemaking look like and how was it different from what you guys had tried in the past?
Yeah. Well, I think that that Jay Rothman, he gets, I'll give him a ton of credit, and his approach about really giving each person on the school board and the facility, major stakeholders in the facilities committee, opportunity to sit and chat with him on a regular basis and discuss their angst and what was working for them and what wasn't independently. And then, he didn't rush over and tell him, well, so-and-so said, but just it gave him a safe space to talk independently about their opinion about the issues. And it really, I think, tests some of their thoughts on somebody else without it being shared. So he had this kind of a perspective of where everyone was because he listened very carefully and gave them that time and energy and opportunity. And then he started weaving into that process different components that might help one another bring their thoughts together or find the common ground. So he wasn't about trying to convince everybody to do A or B or C. That really wasn't, and it was our guide from the foundation. We really didn't want, try to get everybody to say, pick this, but more continue to chip away in a more compromising way. And so where some of the facility ideas, options started, they shifted over time, incorporating the thoughts and some of the key die on the sword type of ideas from individuals on the school board and facilities. So it was more of a weaving together.
Did you hear from people in the community about did you get feedback and what they thought of these people listening more? Did people feel like they were being heard more? Did you get any of that positive feedback or negative feedback about the kind of facilitation going on?
Absolutely. We've had multiple community members reach out. Some community members, how do I get part of the conversation? How do I get included? I have something to say. Others, don't forget this group. They need to be heard. Nobody's asking them. So, kind of a direction and a lot of applause at first there was a lot of skepticism that was voiced, but towards the end of the sessions, and we really worked up to once the school determined that they were going to put the levy on the ballot and the timing and for what. At that point, we really no longer proceeded with the work because Jay got to the school board to have a vote where all voted for the same thing. And if you think about where we started, which, it was a very split school board. So having a vote that was unanimous to one topic, and that to me, was kind of we reached even a higher goal than we had hoped. Jay and I thought that would be ideal because it gives a spot for the community to work from. The school board's behind it. That's huge versus the school board split on this.
Yeah, that is huge. I mean, there's multiple factors, but I guess, like, how do you think you guys got there in the end?
Yeah, so it still kind of amazes me. You know, again, I had a lot of discussions with Jay, which was fantastic. He, you know, even before every school board meeting, he and I would talk, and we would talk about what the options were and how best to approach different board members, and, you know, just how to communicate. Really, it was what we were getting down to. You know, I remember that vote well. I was fairly convinced that night that we were going to get a 3-2. It was going to be another divisive levy issue. And I was actually pretty depressed walking into that meeting. And turned out the two board members that had worked on the facilities committee, who were pretty far apart for the most part. They don't see eye to eye on a lot of things, but they were the two that kind of, I set out, Jay and I had discussed a technique about, you know, there was some, and I can't even remember the exact details, but there were a few details of what we could offer as compromise between the two. And I remember in that meeting kind of just talking to both of them like, hey, we could do this and we could do this. And they independently, they were sitting next to each other, which was deliberate. They sat next to each other to have a better discussion during the meeting. And they, one of them turned to the other one and said, you know, what happens if we did this thing? The other one offered some counterpoints back, which were the details of plans that you're talking about. And literally within 5 minutes, they're both like, hey, I think we've got a different option than any of the things we've been discussing so far. And they threw it on the table and we were like, yeah, actually that fits. That's another way to slice this apple here. And if you guys are happy with that, I am too. You know, it's maybe not the ideal solution I would have chosen, but it does, I think, probably as best get to all the different concerns out there. You know, keeping the two campuses for the green space, doing a lot of renovation and not just new build, but doing a combination of those, potentially having the option to have a preschool in our lower grade that could, you know, could be much cheaper than the preschool options that are available to, especially, you know, folks who are on a more limited budget, right, and have children. So there are all these benefits to it. The price tag remained high. We knew that was an issue, really, because of the cost of construction. But when they kind of came together and proposed that to the rest of the board, the other three of us were like, wow, that's we hadn't quite considered that mix of things. And yeah, that's great. And that's what we wound up putting on the ballot. And that's what passed. So yeah, Jay just getting people to talk to each other and maybe making some suggestions of the things he was hearing in the community, right, like kind of laid that foundation. And then we were able to all kind of stew on it a little bit. And then when those two got together and made that connection that they had another compromise in the mix, it opened the doors.
Yeah, I was just going to add to TJ's. I think that what Jay was able to accomplish with the school board was to provide the opportunity to hear what the other person was saying and what was important to them. So to get to that compromise, it wasn't about this is what was all I'm worried about is what's important to me. Getting to that compromise was the understanding of what the others had as a major a stake in the ground or what's really important. I think so. 2 points that Jay worked on was one, how do we work as a group, as a school board group, as work as a team to get to a solution, and how do we hear the other individuals and what's important to them? It had not happened before on such a contentious topic. That was really key.
Can you give me an example of a particular method or technique that Jay used that you personally experienced or that you felt was really interesting or different than you had experienced before in terms of like conflict resolution or peacemaking tools?
Okay. So he has this at his house. So some of the sessions, like the board retreat, was actually at his house, which was, I think, rather brave. You invite the public into your house after my experiences on the first levy. I was a little leery of that. But at his house, he has this path. And the idea is you start together in the middle. And when you walk up this path to a certain extent, and then you both take a turn. One person turns to the right, one person turns to the left, and you walk back and you meet again. And you do that 3 times and you keep your steps sort of in sync. So when you're walking together, you're getting the pace. And then that's supposed to kind of bring you together in brain waves all together on the same frequency. I don't know if it works or not, but it was interesting to try and, you know, try with different people. So, you know, give it a shot.
As he mentioned at the beginning of the program, Jay Rothman brought the board together for a retreat and took them through various exercises on communication and listening. They went back and forth and back and forth until they got closer to understanding one another.
I don't know that we ever had like an aha moment per se, but I think all of it together just changed the discussion a little bit. It was less heated. It was a little bit more, hey, these are all the issues. Here's everything that's out there. And it made people move off of their entrenched positions. There was even one of those listening sessions where people were allowed to move their dots on a piece of paper. And you could see that people, after hearing another side, actually moved, like most people. And so they had a little analysis of how their position had moved after listening to somebody who maybe didn't have as much income, or someone who was a young family looking for education for their children. So it was interesting how that discussion happened. So he, like Jeanne Marie keeps saying, he created these safe spaces for people to talk and discuss. And that was, I think, just pivotal, just key.
What advice would you have to other communities who might be facing similar issues on their school board or in city council? If they have an issue like this that's really dividing the community, what would you say to them?
I guess from my perspective, first thing I would say is slow down. I think that taking time, giving everyone more time to think through and to go through the process. I think we sometimes try to rush through to an answer. And in that, it doesn't give time to evolve. You know, getting to a compromise on our school board decision was actually a development of understanding, but also the time to evolve one's thought processes. And I think we push through so fast sometimes. And I think if you have an outside resource, if you can afford that outside resource that's not focused on the issue, but focused on the communication, I think was key.
I think Jeanne Marie's right, just slowing down and trying to meet people where they are and meet them face to face, have coffee, talk about things, have a listening sessions like we did that the Community Foundation helped us with. I think those things are key. These exercises where you try to move your point of view a little bit is awesome, so that you can understand somebody else's, and you know, you got to come to that being so entrenched maybe, or having the attitude that you're willing to listen and maybe move your position.
Jay Rothman, the facilitator who helped the Yellow Springs community through this peacemaking process, whom you heard at the beginning of the program, spoke with people afterwards about the idea of compromise.
I don't think you compromised. I think you integrated. You took the best of the different proposals. Everybody got what they really needed. Almost everybody didn't get what they wanted in some ways, but that's not the point.
Rothman calls this creative conflict engagement, and its focus is not on resolution. It's about moving from antagonism into conversation, or to use one of his musical metaphors, from dissonance to resonance. While the vote passed and they can begin to rebuild the schools, there's also still work to be done on healing and bringing the Yellow Springs community together after years of ongoing hostility and conflict. But they are not stuck anymore. They have finally found a way forward. As Jay Rothman would say, they are making pieces of peace.
That was producer Jessica Tickton speaking with T.J. Turner, former president of the school board in Yellow Springs, Ohio, and Jeanne Marie Cox, executive director of the Yellow Springs Community Foundation. To listen to the full interview and to find out more information about all of our guests, go to peacetalksradio.com. Look for Episode 3 in Season 22. PeaceTalksRadio.com is where you'll find all the programs in our series dating back to 2002, where you can see photos of our guests, you can read and share transcripts, sign up for our podcast, and make a donation to keep this program going into the future. We are our own nonprofit organization called Good Radio Shows. You can find out more and help us out at PeaceTalksRadio.com online. Nola Days Moses is our executive director. Jessica Tickton is our supervising producer. Allie Adelman composed and performs our theme music. For co-founder Suzanne Kreider and the rest of our Peace Talks Radio team, I'm Paul Ingalls. Thanks so much for listening to and for supporting Peace Talks Radio.